feel that pain, it makes you remember that, like, you are only human, and you need, so once in a while, like, you have to bleed. Once in a while, you have to feel the pain and suffering. What's up, everyone? Nate Sorrentino here, back with another episode of the Freethinkers Emergence Podcast. And today, I have my best friend with me, Luke.
What's up?
And we are gonna get right into it. Today, we're gonna go over a little bit of psychedelic psilocybin mixed with purpose, self-belief, self-acceptance, and overcoming the feelings of beating yourself up when you're not reaching your highest potential, when you know what you're actually capable of. So, to start this conversation, let's go straight into how psychedelics have helped us and where we find ourselves after taking such a drug as psilocybin. So, personally, for me, psilocybin has always brought out the truth, where I can't run away from myself anymore. When I want to become a better version of myself and I need to figure out what I need to work on, I have taken, like, psilocybin, and it's always been one of those things that have made all my issues clear as could be. And now it's about, how do I actually fix these problems? And that is by coming to the truth of whatever it is. It's the idea of psilocybin is like everything that is you becomes clear as day, both the light and the dark sides. So when I'm struggling with purpose, or like, what is my purpose, I take them and I'm like, oh, it's all about consciousness and how to make people better and become more conscious beings and actually give them back control of their life. So I'm gonna pass the mic off to you. How has psilocybin affected you, and what ways have you used it to make yourself better?
I always use it to find myself, to want to be more concentrated on what I'm doing. And for me, I play guitar, I sing, I make music. So I like taking, if you take more than, I'd say, 3 grams, then you're probably in for the trip. And you're probably not going to be able to control a lot, especially if you have no tolerance. Then you're strapped to that rocket and it'll take you for a ride. But I take a small amount to, like, calm myself down and become way more concentrated than I was before.
Yeah, I feel that.
I feel a level of intensity and presence and focus that, like, it's unmatched. Like, you can't find it anywhere else.
No, it, like, glues you to what you actually have to get done and what is your purpose. It's like, this is what I love doing. This is what I was made to do. Let me get better at it. What do you think is, like, there's, like, different dosages. You have the, like, low tier microdose, you have like a 1 to 2 gram, which is like you get a little bit above microdose.
I've broken this down. I can
Oh, please.
All right, so less than a gram is a microdose. Anything like over a gram and under 3 grams is a low dose or a moderate dose.
Mm-hmm.
3 grams to 4.5 is like a relatively high dose, and then 5 is the heroic.
All right. Quote
heroic dose from Terrence McKenna. And Terrence McKenna says, if y'all don't know who he is, I feel like, check him out. He sadly passed away on his mission, preaching the importance of psychedelics. And he had pretty much a cult following. I don't want to say cult, because it's a very negative word, but he pretty much had a cult following that just, like, researched psychedelics and preached the importance of them. And he came up with the heroic dose and says the proper way to take mushrooms is 5 grams in silent darkness. And people don't take enough mushrooms. People take pissant amounts and claim they're initiates. So you have to take 5 grams so that you can't go back. There's no going back. Like, you've taken them, and if you're in silent darkness, then it's just like a reminder to yourself that there's no outside stimulation and all that you have is your mind. So anything that you experience is
your own consciousness
influenced by the psilocybin.
That's beautiful. Yeah, Terrence, I haven't done a lot of research on him, but I know enough about him to know he was very holistic and nature-minded, and that the idea that psilocybin coming from nature brings you back to nature. And I remember the first time I ever took it, all I could think about was... Let me first phrase this. I had done LSD before I did psilocybin, so like I was already aware of like how psychedelics work. I had done a fair amount of LSD trips to be like, yes, this is what it feels like to have your mind opened up to the world around you, ego death, like actually dissolve yourself and see the world as only an observer without any self-involvement. So when I took psilocybin for the first time, it was on the Cape, and I did it with a very good friend. She introduced me to them. I'm really grateful that she did, and we had a great experience together. And for me, it was about like feeling alive and realizing that I am alive. I'm a living entity. Like, my body's alive, and I need to keep it alive, and I'm a part of nature. And it made me realize like everything is alive, everything is sentient, and we all are observing what's going on around us. That's the universe is observing itself.
I think it's interesting that you took acid before mushrooms. That's pretty ballsy.
Me and a friend from high school did LSD before, and it started off small, just like one dosage paper tab, which is like 80 micrograms about, right? Something like that. And I think that's about where it's at. And then the most I ever did was a gel tab, which is like the equivalent of 3 paper tabs and then a paper tab with it. And that's about 4 hits. And that had me on a trip for about 14, 16 hours. Oh. And it was magical. Like, that was when I discovered, or before that, I had discovered telepathy from telepathically communicating with this friend. We'd be lying on the sand and we'd just be talking to each other through our thoughts. And I was like, holy shit, this can't be real. But, you know, it's only real until it happens to you. That's why I'm an advocate for other people trying it, because you can only take so much of what I say with as much salt as you possibly want, and then realize that, okay, I need to figure this out for myself. And some things you do, some things you don't.
And hopefully listening to us talk about it will inspire you to try it, just like watching Joe Rogan and Terrence McKenna inspired me to try it. Because I'm watching these people talk about how it changed their life so much and how it, like, cured their depression, brought them out of a rut mentally. And someone took a tab of acid and decided to fly to Hawaii and change their life, just live in Hawaii just from a tab of acid. And personally, psychedelics made me realize, like, yeah, I have a body and I have a brain, I have a name, but I'm not my name, I'm not my body, I'm not my thoughts, but I'm purely the observer of all of them.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And like, it's you almost hear it all the time, like mainstream, from other psychonauts, I guess. and they all say like pretty much the same thing, like, you're not your body, you're not your mind, you're not your thoughts. But like, it was so hard to understand it until I was actually like taken out of my body. And yeah, realizing that I'm connected to everything. And you hear that also, like, you're connected to everything, everything's one, everything is the same energy. But like, what does that really mean? And it's hard to understand it until you actually feel it for yourself.
Yeah, very much so. And for me, after I've done one dosage in my life that was over 5 grams, I measured out an eighth, took that, wasn't feeling much, and then I took like at least another eighth, in my opinion. I didn't measure out the rest of what I took, but it was definitely more than 2 grams. And for this like 5 to 7 gram experience, it opened my eyes to what oneness actually is. And I just recall watching the what people call the Big Bang, like the creation of the universe, in my own mind, and seeing how everything that is my mind is the universe. Like, it's the universal consciousness. And that's when I became one with it and realized, like, oh, this is the infinite intelligence everyone talks about. This is the oneness with God. This is being, like, one and becoming, like, a creator of your own universe in your head, where you watch the universe form. And then I'd watch it, like, explode, and then I'd watch it implode. And people have talked about this rubber band effect based on the Big Bang theory, where like everything's expanding at a rapid rate and the universe is expanding faster and faster, exponentially, they say. And if it gets to a certain point, does it like elastic back and like go back, implode on itself, and then explode again? It's all great questions, all theoretical, but these are the things that, like, I was experiencing while I was on this heroic dose of psilocybin. And at the same time, there was all kinds of other work. Like, I remember how important music became after this experience, when you have the right vibrations around you, because music is nothing but a vibration. It's the sound is how it influences you and makes you feel. Like, you can have like beats and melody and all these different pieces to it, but what it is like the vibration and how that affects the vibration of your body as they join and rejoice in harmony. And you realize that everything is vibrating and you want to be at one with everything and in harmony and synchronized with the flow of the universe.
I want to add that it's no secret that like actors and especially musicians have taken drugs to get where they got. And Samuel L. Jackson has stated that he's taken LSD while he acts to help him act and get into character.
And that's awesome. They're powerful. They help you. You can form yourself however you want from these substances once you learn how to use them. It's like some people trip, some people control the trip, where when you learn how to control it, you basically become the master manipulator of your own mind and consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike Tyson said he'd take mushrooms before he fought people. I mean, you can see Mike Tyson now as a 65-year-old man, like, takes mushrooms on podcasts with a bunch of people by the handful. And when he was younger, like, Iron Mike, he would take mushrooms before he fought people, and he claimed that he could see punches being thrown before they were thrown.
Dude, that's how I feel about seeing the future at this point. Like, I can play something out in my head, and I can play it out, like, 40 years in advance and be like, oh, this is how that's going to end up if I go down this route, and this is how pattern recognition at the highest level works.
And would you say that psychedelics have definitely helped you develop that mindset?
Oh, 100%. And it's become more than a mindset. It's become a gift. Like, we're all gifted spiritually, and one of my gifts has become, like, being able to see the future based on present decisions.
Dude.
Because all timelines converge into one, which is the moment.
Correct. And all we have is this moment, and that's what I really understand when I'm tripping. Like, you only have right now.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as the past. There's a concept made up, and the future is also a concept, just made up.
Yeah.
So that we could help each other understand what happened.
And what will happen.
And what will happen. But it's like, if everyone was at that, like, divine consciousness, realizing that there is no such thing, like, we would...
It would be better for the whole... Ugh. Yo, one of the lights just went out. I'm going to fix that real quick.
Word. Rip. Rest in peace to the light.
Yeah, I don't know why it went out.
Some odd.
Oh, I do know why it went out. It's because I didn't plug this cord in. Alright.
Excuse me.
Beautiful.
So, you were talking about, I forgot exactly what you said, but you said, like, gift? What about a gift?
Spiritually gifted. So, like, one of my best and most powerful spiritual gifts is telepathy. When I discovered that when I was 17, 18 years old when I first started doing LSD, and I started to uncover what telepathy was when I was 17 years old, and that's when I had my first telepathic experience and realized, like, okay, this is where you start communicating through the ether, and you start communicating through solely vibrations, where language no longer matters when you're speaking through energy. And this is absurdly powerful when you become one with everything around you. This is how people who have psychedelic experience communicate with their pets and communicate with nature, whether it be trees, whether it be animals,
and whatever. And why music brings people together.
Exactly, because it's energy and vibration.
Correct. Like, you don't need to understand. Like, if it's a song in a different language and you don't know the language, it's fine. You could still vibe and dance to the concert and have a great time because you know that rhythm is flowing through you and you like it, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you don't understand it, you understand that you belong right where you are.
Exactly. Yeah. So, now that we have a good understanding of psychedelics, and as in we just explained our experiences slightly, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, let's move into, like, how we've gotten better at accepting our flaws, our dark side, even our light side, and this, relating this to that acceptance and not beating yourself up so much for your mistakes. Because one of the hardest things to do as a human being is not to forgive others, but it's to forgive yourself. And once you hit this point, you start to understand what it actually means to grow. Because self-acceptance and self-forgiveness is critical to moving forward past the mistakes that people, like, recognize you for.
I don't want to speak for Nate, but I'll let him touch on this on his own. But he did say he'd hit himself in the face when he feels hard on himself. And we're two people to feel hard on, like, beat ourselves up when we know that we could be doing better, or, like, we knew, like, okay, I could have done that differently, or we have in our minds, like, this concept of better. And if we don't know what exactly we did wrong, or...
Well, for me, it's knowing exactly what I did wrong and knowing that I could have done better. And when I know I didn't put my all into something, even if I did put my all into it and I still feel like I failed after putting my all into it, I get really upset at myself. And sometimes that comes out in physical aggression. And I used to, let me go back to elementary school. First day of elementary school, I got in a fist fight with a person who I'm now friends with. Once again, no names, but me and him are now homies. And, like, regardless of the way it started, I was a very aggressive child. And this went all the way through middle school. And then by the time I was at ASD, I no longer had this, like, physical altercation mindset where, like, to solve my problems, I just had to fight people. And it was the aggressiveness never left. I just got better at channeling it into productivity. But when shit would get really bad for me, I would, like, just start punching myself in the face. And I remember there was one time I was at UVM and, like, I had a chemistry exam and I said, I need to pass this exam. And I left the exam saying I could have done better. And I ended up getting, like, somewhere in the 80s on this exam. But it doesn't matter. I left, got back to my house, was super mad at myself, went out by the lake. I lived on Lake Champlain. God bless my landlord. And so I was sitting there at this, on this chair, looking out at the lake, looking at the stars, and this, like, I got so upset at myself, I started hitting myself, and I remember feeling I cracked my jaw. And that was, like, when I, like, when I came face to face with death and was like, oh my gosh, this is almost as bad as shooting yourself in the foot with a gun. Like, hitting yourself until you actually break something. And then, like, I would, I would go to the gym, and I bought a heavy bag, and I'd hit this heavy bag until my knuckles would bleed because I needed to feel pain. Like, the feeling of pain is unlike any other. And sometimes when you feel that pain, it makes you remember that, like, you are only human. And you need, so once in a while, like, you have to bleed. Once in a while, you have to feel the pain and suffering. And you cause all your own pain and suffering. And instead of me hitting other people now, I was hitting myself because I couldn't blame anyone else but myself. And that's where we get back to, from beating yourself up to self-acceptance and self-forgiveness. Any thoughts? That was a lot.
All I'm thinking is, I heard that we put ourselves in positions of pain so that we can accurately predict the feelings that we're going to experience.
We put ourselves through pain to accurately
predict
the feelings we're going to experience.
Like you punching yourself in the face, you knew exactly how it was going to feel and you did it anyway. You punching a punching bag till you blew it, you knew you were going to bleed.
Like I knew it was going to hurt.
As well, yeah, so you did it anyway and it's like...
It's the wanting to control the uncontrollable.
Yeah. And the only way that you could do that at that moment was by punching yourself in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, lately, me going through... I ain't gonna name names, but...
This relationship-wise?
Relationship-wise,
yep.
Between women and family and figuring out how I'm going to adult for the rest of my young life.
Not even your young life, though. This is just adulting in general.
I know. I said young life because it's like, I know it'll get hard. It'll be hard right now because I'm like, it's been my first year living on my own.
And you're in the learning stage. Dude.
Exactly. And I know, like, it'll be, like, once I'm at Breno's age, like, I'll... Can't say I'm gonna have everything figured out, but I'll have like
you'll have more figured out.
A lot
but that's
more
what,
figured out.
That's what experience does, exactly.
Right, and man, do I beat myself up for not knowing the shit sometimes, and it's just, I gotta give myself grace more.
Yeah, literally.
That's what my mom has been saying. That's what you've been saying. Just give yourself grace.
Yeah, dude, and that's what we, not only do we have to do that to ourselves, we have to do that to other people, because when you record a podcast with someone who, like, is just starting out, like, speaking, and they're, like, just learning how to, like, actually get this done, like, I recorded a podcast with someone recently, and it was online-based, which I never do. Mm-hmm. Everything is in my studio. I'm always in person. I have everything set up. It's all, like, boom. Like, I just fixed the camera exposure. That's why those last couple videos were darker. I didn't realize that something got screwed up, and now it's back to neutral. The lighting should be better. But you have to give grace to other people and yourself. You have to understand that when someone's doing something for the first time, you can't expect them to get it right away. And the measure of intelligence is the ability to adapt to change. And that means when you show something to someone for the first time, how quickly they adapt to whatever you're showing them and how quickly they pick that up and they can imitate and do the same thing over, that's like how intelligent they truly are. And intelligence can be taught. And by going through all this, you learn what it means to give grace. And by actually learning how to give grace to people who may not be as intelligent as you, or in fact, they may just not know what you know. And it's important to understand that everyone knows something you don't know, and you know something that everyone else doesn't know. And no matter how old or how young they are, this is how it goes.
Yeah.
Grace is very important with yourself, with others. It's one of the greatest things that we have as a tool to help with communication and, most importantly, lack of communication. People have to learn how to communicate, how to talk to one another, how to create these bridges of reality, which I'm experiencing my own reality. Luke, you experience your own, and so don't every other person on this planet. We all are having our own reality that somehow we meet in the middle with one another into what we call this, like, human world, this experience that we're going through. So, yeah, give grace. Don't be such a hard ass on everyone, no matter who you are. I don't like to ever be breaking people down. I like to build them up. But sometimes by breaking people down, you are building them up. Because some things have to be rebuilt to be better than before. All right. So, yeah. Beating yourself up can be tough.
My bad.
No worries. Let's move into, like, acceptance in when it comes to purpose. I recently posted a short about having skills and doing whatever you're the highest skilled at to the point where people either love watching it, you're teaching them, or you're, like, entertaining. It's like you got to spread love, knowledge, and positivity. And those are the things I live by. Where that's when you have those things locked down and you have a skill that you can share with the world and you're bettering the world around you and you're adding to it, that's when you discover what your purpose is. It's like Luke and making music and playing guitar, singing. For me, helping people with consciousness and becoming the best version of themselves, being more mindful, having the right mindsets, the mentality. It's all this using the tools that you have to create the world that you want to live in. What do you got for thoughts?
Man, I've just been letting you talk. You kind of touched on everything that I'm thinking, so.
That's awesome.
It's,
So, overall, psychedelics are, like, super powerful. When I first started doing them, it showed me what it means to be alive. And then, as I progressed through my late teenage, early 20s, I'm now 22, and I've come to realize that the number one thing you can do is try to put yourself in other people's shoes and understand their perspective to the highest level possible, so you're not just living in your own utopia, your own illusion of the world, because that's a dangerous place to be living when you don't have a sense of other people's worlds, what they've been through, what they're going through, what they will go through. All important things.
I don't know who needs to hear us, but there's a reason why you are where you are, and you're exactly where you need to be.
True.
Yeah.
Very, very true. Yo, this one, you know, the microphone's, like, in front of your face. So, it's up to you.
Shit.
It's not a big issue. Yeah, these are the things that really matter. When you want to become better, you should...
Take mushrooms.
I'm not going to disagree, but I think there's other ways to become better without this going straight the mushrooms.
You definitely don't have to. I feel like you should try meditation and breath work before. That way, when you do take mushrooms, you can have something to always go back to if you're, like, feeling anxiety during the trip.
Yeah, the breath is so important. You inhale positive energy and you exhale negative energy. It's very important to understand that, like, what you put in versus what you put out, it's all so critical to everything about you and who you are and how you are reflecting the world around you back out from your conscious being. The law of correspondence is basically what I'm getting to, where it's like what's going on in the big scale and what's going on outside of you will be reflected internally. And the same goes, what's going on internally will be reflected outside of you. And this is where you get back to oneness with everyone and realizing that just because you can do something doesn't mean other people can. And you just have to continue moving forward in make yourself better while also helping other people to become better. And when you make yourself better, you make the whole better. And when you make someone else better, you make the whole better. And because you're a part of the whole, by helping other people, you are helping yourself. Important, important, important. These are the keys to having a prosperous life, in my opinion. I really do think that if you can adopt some of these mentalities and, like, really understand how the Hermetic principles work and why they work the way they do, and use them to build yourself up into the person you want to become, and know that who you are is determined by you and no one else. No one can tell you who you are, and no one can tell you what you should be and what any of this stuff is.
I want to add to that. The reason I heard someone say that the reason why we feel anxiety and, like, depression is because we listen to other people's judgments of us. So, like you said, we are the only ones that can tell us who we are. But if you feel depressed, it's because you've been listening to other people about you.
What about, so I always see this Jim Carrey quote where it's like, depression is your soul saying it's tired of playing the role you've been playing. And,
like, I don't want to be this character anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And everything is like you acting on the world stage. And this is why authenticity is so goddamn important. Like, when you want to speak your truth, like, speak it. Like, tell people how you feel. Because if you don't, it's going to create dis-ease in your body. And that dis-ease is going to create disease. And then you're going to get sick. And then you're going to die. If you want to keep your body alive, then stop hiding how you feel. Because those vibrations and feelings are the thing that's going to kill you. Like, you need to express yourself. When you're really happy, you can't not hide it. It's like when two people love each other.
Yeah, like when I just broke out laughing at that shit. That was fucking hilarious.
Dude, it's what it is. And you need to express yourself and be who you are truly and live authentically. And the thing I love the most about psychedelics is you can't hide your authenticity. Where when you are a certain way, like me and you both have experiences with other people on psychedelics and learning who people truly are. And when you get to see who other people are, that's when you get to understand, okay, this is what makes this person tick. But more importantly, when you take a psychedelic on your own, you get to learn what makes you tick. You get to learn how you work. You get to learn what makes you the way you are. All such important things.
Yeah, definitely authenticity is what I've been working on ever since I've taken mushrooms. I realized, damn, I'm not as fucking cool as I thought. I'm not as smart as I thought. I'm not all that. Like, I'm literally just a fucking boy. And,
you're turning into a man, though. It's like, same with me.
This was what I was thinking when I had taken it, like, years ago. Yeah, I am a 19-year-old man now, but, like, me being a 45-year-old man is considerable, like, that.
Being a man versus a boy doesn't depend on your age. It depends on your maturity, your experience,
yes,
and what role you're playing in society.
Let's talk about this. You can see an old soul in a younger person. I would say me and you both have old souls.
True.
We're relatively young men, and fuck, lost train of thought so fucking bad, dude.
That's all good. So shit. Old souls are the kind of people who, like, have innate wisdom within them. Like, they have a perspective that they shouldn't have, but they do. And the only rational explanation is they've been through this before.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I remember what I was going to say. Right, yeah, yeah, go ahead. Okay. Like, a 20-year-old person could be, quote, older. Not by age, but they can have lived more life experiences. Say you take two people, a 20-year-old man and a 40-year-old man. And that 40-year-old man, let's say all his life, he was kind of a hermit, lived inside, went to the same job for the last 30 years, has had the same car, has dated the same girl, hasn't really gone out of his shell all that much. But this 20-year-old, he's gone day and night staying up, researching mental health and how to make people better their consciousness, and dabbles in psychedelics, buys a cigar here and then, fucking goes out of their way to try out different cigars, try out different shit, everything. That person's probably lived a faster life and gone through way more experiences than that 40-year-old person, and it makes them appear older because they are more mature. They've gone through more stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for reminding me what I was about to say.
So, for real, though, I really do believe in soul contracts where, like, you determine what you're going to go through on this earth before you come here as a soul. Like, you sign a contract with God saying, these are the things I'm going to go through, and this is, like, I know I can make it through this.
I've heard that a lot, but I guess I don't really...
It's how life can be predetermined to a certain extent.
I do believe that my life is predetermined, and everyone, just like the Big Bang, right? That implosion. Would you call it an implosion?
Explosion. It's like implosion, explosion. Everything's going in and out. Everything pulsates, including the universe itself.
It's like that singularity. What's his name? His last name's Green. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and Robert Green, fucking genius. He That was going to be my first thought. I didn't want to get it wrong, though.
I just watched a podcast with him and Chris Williamson. Very smart man. Both of them.
Robert Greene says, if there was one Big Bang, then that leaves speculation to believe that there has to be infinitely many Big Bangs.
True.
And
it's like the multiverse theory.
Yeah, you know, I believe it.
Me too. It's like there's a ton of different timelines of me and you doing this podcast together.
Where maybe that incense is just slightly different.
Yeah, or all of these different things.
Where if infinity is so big it can't be measured, and it's hard to conceive how, like, what that actually means. Because if there is an infinite amount of possibilities, then there has to be an infinite amount of us out there. And, like, imagine living our entire lives the exact same way, but up until this moment, like, you just decided to have a different cigar on the table.
True.
But then we continued living the exact same life that we were going to live.
Yeah.
I believe that that's definitely out there.
No, I see it. I really do. So, I view, like, this, like, so, let's talk about, like, time and how timelines converge into one golden timeline. And this all goes back to, like, authenticity and being yourself and realizing that there are no right and wrong decisions. There's only the failure to make a decision.
I want to add to that. Like, yes, there's no right and wrong decision. Just like, you can take that philosophy to anything. Like, Bashar, he said, nothing has built-in meaning. And it's so true.
Nothing has built-in meaning.
Like, your dog dies. And you start crying. You automatically put a bad emotion to that. Because you've been told that your dog dying is bad. And you've been conditioned to know that, like, oh, it's not good. But you are ultimately the one that's in control. And
this is the mind of a stoic.
It's like, yeah, nothing has built-in meaning. Nothing is good or bad. Nothing is ultimately strong or weak. It's all perception and relative. Like,
exactly. Where you give the meaning to everything in your life, meaning you're like me having adopted parents and not having like any parents that were biological. I don't say adopted parents. I just call them my parents. Like, I love them like they're the people who birthed me. and it's all I have. I'm never going to have anything else. Like, I don't know my biological mom's name even. I know she was 15 when she gave birth to me, and I heard she was a very smart woman, and she didn't want to put me up for adoption, but her family couldn't afford to keep me. And so they basically had to give me up to the orphanage, and then fortunately I was the chosen one. And then my sister was also one of the chosen ones. And even better, like, my sister was the easy child, I was the difficult one. Where it's like, if it had been the other way around, maybe they never would have went back to get a second child. You see, it's like everything happens for a reason. And you don't realize that when these little things that actually become big things in the grand scheme, where it's like, if it's, you can go back to like a grandfather paradox, like you travel through time, you kill your grandfather, you're not born. How does that affect the rest of society? Like, what if like it was really that important that you existed? There's so many ways to go through time, and time is such an interesting concept because it's man-made. Like, time doesn't exist, clocks exist, where every, when you go back in time, there's an infinite amount of paths that you can end up going down, where even in the present, there's like an infinite amount of paths that you can end up going down, and you can go into the past and then go up whatever like path you want to go to. And this is where, like, you can go into different timelines and you can jump by making different decisions and understanding that you really do direct your life. Like, you are the director and the main character of your life. And whatever you want to do, you have to create in your head and your mind. And then you have to manifest it into reality, whatever that is. And you have the capability to create anything. And your only limit is yourself. And this is why my three tenets for life are: be fearless, get over your fear of death, death means nothing, and then realize that you're eternal, and now you hit the point where you become limitless because you realize nothing can limit you besides yourself, so be unlimited, don't let anyone stop you, and this brings you to being unstoppable. Now you become a unstoppable person where anything you want is yours. And I live by this little Bible verse: if God is for you, then who can be against you? And when you're serving your divine purpose, you basically have the right to do what you need to do to get it done. And you know that by living a divine life, you're helping and adding to what this creator has created. You want to add to the creation and not subtract.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So, besides all this, I mean, the power of psychedelics makes you realize that time is basically irrelevant.
I didn't want to start out with my experiences on acid, so when you said acid, it made me happy that you were okay to talk about it.
I don't talk about it a lot, but
it needs to be more mainstream, so I just, like, people need to understand that, like, I'm going to touch on this. Like, I spoke on this on my TikTok live, and they banned me. They banned my live for a couple of days for even talking about drugs. Just saying the word drug ticked red flags, and they banned certain audiences from watching my lives. And all I said was, I think people should take more mushrooms. And then automatically TikTok was like, hell nah, brother. We ain't going to show that shit to people.
Well, but I was
literally just like, oh, bro, I was just going off about the importance of psychedelics and how drug is a very derogatory word, and coke and heroin and fentanyl pills from pharmaceutical companies, those are drugs. And even though pot and mushrooms and LSD and peyote and DMT are labeled as drugs, because we've been programmed as kids by the DARE program and everything, that drugs are bad, stay away, don't do them. I don't think pot and mushrooms are.
I'm pretty sure Nancy Reagan created the DARE program.
Here's the thing. Yes, it's a drug because it's a mind-altering substance. However, I think it's a very derogatory word. And If it's a plant, it's a plant. If it's not a plant, it's not a plant. I don't think you should do anything if it's not grown from the earth. And LSD is derived from ergot, which is a fungus that grows on wheat.
Interesting. And I didn't know that.
So people are afraid to take acid because they think it's a fucking manufactured drug, which it is. It's put on a perforated piece of paper, but...
Well, it takes a process to get it. That's exactly. Why, like, I'm far more a proponent for psilocybin. Like, psilocybin mushrooms growing straight from the earth, you pick it, and then you let it dry out, and then you eat it. And versus having a chemical that comes from this fungus on a wheat plant.
Yeah, farmers discovered, like, this black mold on their wheat, and they're like, yo... What is this? And they, like, took it off, and, like, he just started tripping from just, like, touching it.
Interesting.
I forget who it is, but it's, like...
I'm going to have to fact check that.
Gladly. There's probably more, like, instances of people finding ergot, and it's, like...
Interesting.
It's such a strong substance. That's why it's measured in micrograms, and the reason why it's on perforated pieces of paper is because it's so strong, and they have to use a dropper to put it on the pieces of paper.
Huh. Yeah.
And if you cut a tab in half, like, you could have more of the LSD on one side of the tab. That's why you just like...
That's why I don't like the any of the edibles with mushrooms in them, because I don't...
I fuck with those so hard, dude.
Well, dude...
I've only had one experience with that, and I was literally hearing fucking rainforest sounds in my bedroom.
So, that's crazy.
I was hearing frogs, dude. I'm not even joking, dude. I was hearing rainforest sounds in my bedroom. I only took half of a mushroom bar that Jack gave me.
Well, see, here's the thing. Half that mushroom bar, a 4-gram mushroom bar, you could have 4 grams of mushrooms on one side and none on the other side.
The best part was it was only 3.5 grams. So well, it was fucking wild. It was just like...
This is why they sketch me out, because like I can't dose properly unless I eat the whole thing.
I gotta tell you right now, it was a... beautiful experience.
Well, I'm glad.
It was like probably the most mystical, beautiful, comforting psilocybin experiences I've ever had. When I started hearing the rainforest sounds, I felt at home. I'm in my bed, in my cozy bed, and I'm like looking at my closet and all my LED lights, and I'm just like, yo, I don't have any earbuds in. I'm literally hearing like wind against leaves. Like, imagine you're standing in a forest and you, like, a breeze goes by and you hear
the rustle of the leaves.
I heard that, and I heard animals. I heard frogs specifically, like, ribbiting and shit. And I'm just like, holy shit, dude. I'm in my bedroom, but I'm feeling the presence of a mother forest, like a beautiful, alive forest.
That's so interesting, because I... When you break it down into like more of a neuroscience perspective, like you have a psilocin acting as serotonin in the brain, right? So you basically are getting a lot of serotonin along with other aspects, but I want to do more research on it. This is why I was studying neuroscience at UVM, because I really want to do research on psychedelics and how they affect the human consciousness. I am obsessed with consciousness and, more importantly, how elevated consciousness actually works. Like, what is the physical changes that create elevated consciousness? Like, when you move from not only, like, these substances, but, like, how they're affecting your genome and your DNA into how it affects your mind and your psyche as a whole. And it's all just so fascinating. But somewhere you have a bridge, and I feel like the bridge is in, like, your brain by the pineal gland. Like, the pineal gland is, like, what... It's the thing that metabolizes... the serotonin into melatonin at night. And there's so many important things. This is why, like, blue light at night is not good, because you can't have that metabolic process of the serotonin, and you can't sleep. And there's, like, there's so many little things here and there, but it's psilocin and psilocybin, like, being, like, decarboxylated into... psilocin, and then this, like, as it goes down into, like, tryptophan, serotonin, it's all this so fascinating. And I want to do as much research as I can onto this stuff because I've experienced the drug enough to, like, not really want to do it that much anymore. Like, I don't get that much from it. Like, all it does is just intensify my focus, where I don't get the negative effects that you would have from doing something like Adderall, which is basically doing meth. And it's not something that I enjoy. I was prescribed Adderall for ADHD when I was a child, and I never really enjoyed it. It was one of those things that I abused, and it would make it so I stunted my growth from a lack of appetite, and I basically just became addicted to this drug. I have never felt once in my life addicted to psilocybin, and
You know why? Because it's literally impossible.
Yeah, dude.
If you take psilocybin or any psychedelic, psilocybin and LSD, it's proven that your body builds an immediate tolerance to it, where if you take, say, 3 grams and you trip, you have no tolerance, you've never taken mushrooms, you take 3 grams one day, and you decide to take mushrooms the next day. First of all, psilocybin is out of your system in 24 hours.
I disagree. I don't think it ever leaves. Well, neither does LSD. Once you put it in, it doesn't go out.
On a drug test, let's say if you need a drug test, psilocybin will not be found in your system after 24 hours.
All right.
And if you decide to take mushrooms the next day after a solid trip, if you take 3 grams again, you're not going to feel nearly the same as what you felt before. You need to take probably 6 grams to feel what you had felt
from the three gram trip.
But if you wait a good while, like months, like, you'll probably trip again.
That's why when I took many months, I took over a year from doing any psychedelics. I remember I took 3 grams last spring, and it was a very intense experience. And the reason for that is because I hadn't done it in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very aware of how I was gonna feel and the experience that they bring you. Yeah. Well, yo, any final words?
If you've made it this far, thank you. And you are exactly where you need to be. And Jesus loves you.
That's true. We all love each other.
Yeah, you're exactly where you need to be.
Thank you. I appreciate all of you for watching. Keep on leading. You know, I started calling everyone leaders. I got it from Billy Carson, and it's true. If you're following what I've been posting, you are not a follower. You are definitely a leader.
Leader.
And that's important because we need leaders who want to build people's consciousness and help them think for themselves. Think for yourself. Don't let other people tell you who you are. Be authentic. Don't be scared to try new things, specifically psychedelics, but don't do it randomly. Understand what you're getting yourself into. Talk to people who have experiences with it, whether that's in a very professional setting or even in a less professional setting. Like, there's so many things on the internet. You just need to look at the right places. Like, this is on YouTube. Like, there's so many places to find people who talk about this stuff. Find people who can help you and build you up and make you a better person. What do you got to say?
You just said talk to people that have psychedelic experiences or have experience with psychedelics.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, you understand what I'm saying? I think there's a difference between tripping and, like, a psychedelic experience. Like, a psychedelic experience could be classified as anything, like a trip or just like a low dose, but like a trip is a trip, and you know when you're tripping.
Yeah, Yeah, that's why I took LSD before psilocybin, because I knew what it felt like to only be able to lay in the sand and communicate right. telepathically without having anything else right. going around.
And this is why Terrence McKenna wants people to take 5 grams sufficiently enough in silent darkness.
Yeah.
Just like you said, like you just comatose on the sand.
Yeah, literally. It's an experience that you can't relive any psychedelic experience, and you also can't get that experience from doing anything else.
Right.
Like, it's a one-of-a-kind thing. The people who experience these higher dimensions try to bring these experiences back to the people in this 3D plane and explain it to them, but the only way to really understand the experience is to go have one yourself. I'm not going to tell you have to take them. I'm not going to tell you not to. You have free will. You can do anything. Understand that all psychedelics in the United States right now are a Schedule 1 substance as of today. So what you do is on your own free will. I'm not going to tell you to do anything that is illegal. And
I will. I think you should take them.
Yeah. That's it. That's what we got, guys. Thank you for listening. My name is Nate Sarantino. This was my best friend, Luke Stimes. Luke, what do we got for coming up on music?
Oh, man. I'll call it Lisa Ann.
Lisa Ann.
Just Lisa Ann. That's the name of the song.
All right. Well, where can they find you on the music platforms? What's the name? What's the sound?
Every single streaming platform, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, anything you got at Lucas Stimes.
All right, yo, I'll link it down in the description, everyone. Thank you all for listening. Once again, my name is Nate Sarantino. This was Lucas Stimes, and this was the Free Thinkers Emergence Podcast. Peace.